This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jim Bacon is the founder and editor of baconsrebellion.com. He joins us on the long line from his office in Richmond. How you doing, Jim?
Hi, Coy. Just great.
Thank you so much for joining us again. I always look forward to talking to you. And I was bragging about your bragging to the folks in the last break about your blog, Jim, and how it's not one of those blogs where you go to and it's rabidly partisan and demonizing the other side, and you know there is only one right answer here. It's a very calm and lucid and edifying blog that I think anybody. It's very accessible, and I think anybody would get a lot out of it.
Well, thanks, Coy. I appreciate the plug. I like the word edifying. I hope that doesn't make it sound dull, but we try to keep it lively as well as intelligent.
Well, let's give folks an example. You know, we just transportation is the big buzzword here in Virginia. We talk a lot about it on this program. And before we get into some specifics here, tell us, Jim, why are all of these elected leaders and statewide leaders talking about transportation so much as opposed to schools and or public safety and hospitals?
Well, that's a really good question. I think obviously there are in parts of the state there are very real problems. I mean, Northern Virginia in particular, traffic congestion conditions are absolutely wretched, and it's so bad that even if you live in Richmond like I do and you travel through there, you go, oh my God, I just want to avoid the place.
Right, right.
It's bad in Hampton Roads, but it's more there a fear of that it's going to get really bad down the road. And then there are certain places like in Southside, Southwest Virginia, the congestion isn't a problem, but people see more money for roads as kind of an economic development tool. So a lot of people are pretty intense about it.
And it's a very good point, and one that we've made in some of our Sorensen programs, is that, you know, we're all talking about transportation, but it means different things to different regions of the state. Like you point out, in Northern Virginia, it could mean better metro service or you know, a wider 66. Down in Southwest Virginia, it could just mean paved roads.
Yeah, well, they've got plenty of paved roads down there, but it's more down in the Southwest. They want to build a Coalfield Expressway. I mean, they want to have a big four-lane expressway out of there that will help, they think, attract industry. They want to build, Southside wants to build 58 and want to get that four-lane all the way across the state. There was just in the newspaper about people wanting to build Interstate 73 down from Roanoke to Martinsville down to Greensboro. So, you know, lots of people want to lay a lot of new asphalt.
Yeah. Now, tell us your take on the special session. You know, they struggled to get through the normal session earlier this year, and they said, well, we'll come back in the fall and we'll fix everything then. Not many people put much hope in this special session, and for in hindsight, for good measure, because not much happened. What was your take on what happened during the special?
Well, you're right. It was kind of a bust. I mean, virtually nothing of significance got passed, and the press played it as just like a big fiasco. And what came out of it then was a political blame game. And Governor Kane has made it clear that. I mean, he was so upset by developments that he's not even going to really try to do anything in the 2007 session. He's just going to like take it to the voters and say, look, you know, it's choices between a bunch of reactionary obstructionists, you know, do nothing anti-tax Republicans in the House of Delegates, or you know us people who you know just want to raise your taxes to get things done. So that's the way he's pitching it, and of course the Republicans are saying, look. You know, there's lots of alternatives to raising taxes right now. You know, the state is running a big budget surplus. We increased taxes 2 years ago, and we've got the money, and it's in the general fund. So why don't we just go ahead and pay for things that way? And in addition, what they said, it's really not just about the money. It's about making sure that the money is spent well. And the case that they've been making, and I think it's a pretty good one, is that the transportation system that we have in place, that's the balance of power or responsibilities between VDOT and the local governments, was put into place in 1932. So it's almost 75 years old. I mean, it's been tinkered with since, but it's the basic system is 75 years old. And and everything has changed. And the whole relationship between growth and development and local governments and the state has totally changed. And so what the House is arguing is that the system is so antiquated that until we reform it, we just can't possibly spend our money well. So that's what I see as the major issue, but you're not going to read that in the newspaper.
We talked with Speaker Bill Howell just the other day, and he was underscoring that point that he would like to see some changes made in the whole infrastructure that does transportation and that oversees and manages and operates transportation in the Commonwealth.
Right, absolutely. And there's a number of levels to this. And one is overhauling or reforming VDOT and making sure that VDOT operates more efficiently and we get the most out of our dollars that we entrust to VDOT. That's part of it. And some of the strategies there, and actually, they made some progress in their first part of the session. They didn't get a lot of attention in the press, but encouraging VDOT to look for more opportunities to privatize and to outsource and get the private sector more involved. If the private sector can maintain roads more efficiently, then why not let the private sector do that? If the private sector can come in and wants to build propose a project, and they bring their own capital and put their own capital at risk and bring their expertise to bear, as long as it fits within the larger goals of what the state is looking for, and then why not invite them to come in? So that's part of it. So, you know, the state has been kind of moving in that direction all along, and but I think the House of Delegates, they want to, Delegate Howell wants to accelerate that process. The other thing has to do with the relationship between VDOT and local governments. And one of the points that they observe is that the maintenance budget is just increasing faster than anything. And the maintenance budget is projected at some point, and I don't know, the next 8 to 12 years, basically eat the entire VDOT budget, so there's nothing left over for building new roads.
Gosh.
And so one of the things you've got to do is, well, why is the maintenance budget increasing so rapidly? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Now, one of them we don't really have a lot of control over. That's inflation and the construction costs and the high price of oil, which in asphalt and all the rest of it. So that's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is the fact that local governments have been approving all these subdivisions and with the idea that they all will enter the VDOT road system, the state road system, in which case VDOT gets responsibility of taking them over. And, well, you know, that was fine 50 years ago when subdivisions were small and compact and you had three or four houses on an acre of land. You didn't take a whole lot of road to serve them. But now you've got these big old huge sprawling subdivisions with McMansions on 5-acre lots, and that takes a lot of road. And so what's happening is a lot of roadway has been added to the VDOT system. And local governments don't care. They don't care what the shape of the road looks like or the how it's laid out and designed, what the land use patterns are, because they don't have to pay for it. They just give it to VDOT and it becomes VDOT's problem. And so another thing that the House Republican Caucus is saying is that, hey, we need to take a look at the system that does that. It's just not efficient. And what we've got to do is align the transportation and land use planning.
Now, didn't Governor Kane propose something at the top of the year, something about that, aligning some type of land use planning and its conjunction with VDOT?
Right. Governor Kane is also, he's been kind of talking the same kind of rhetoric. And as a matter of fact, his transportation people would probably agree to some extent with the House analysis of the situation. And they are, in fact, going ahead and moving on their own direction, kind of on their own, in their own path. They're kind of moving down the same path, kind of figuring out, well, how can we get a control of that particular situation? And it's an issue that's of interest to the governor. Another thing about these subdivision roads and cul-de-sac roads is what happens is they all look kind of like these little isolated pods, and they all empty out onto collector roads or arterials. So if you want to get anywhere, you have to go out of your subdivision and then hit one of these main roads. Well, everybody's doing that That's one of the reasons the roads are so crowded. But the problem is that none of these things connect to each other. I mean, if these subdivisions connected to each other instead of these with these kind of sealed off little these little pods, then people could take all sorts of alternate transportation routes to get where they were, and they'd have a lot more options, and they wouldn't be crowding all the same roads all the time. So that's another issue that even the governor seems to be aware of, and it's the one that the House is aware of. And so these are areas where it seems to me that there's a lot of room for cooperation in getting something done. Unfortunately, right now, it strikes me the governor is just so mad at the House because of not passing his taxes that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of talking going on.
Jim Bacon of BaconsRebellion.com is our guest. Jim, aren't there places in Virginia where they don't have VDOT? They do their own transportation.
Well, that's right. Cities and towns maintain their own streets, and there are two counties as well, Arlington County and Henrico County. They also maintain their own streets.
Is this model working in those places? Is it working better than their neighbors, for example?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's hard to prove one way or the other. I would say yes. I live in Henrico County, and they've made a couple of goofs, but by and large, they have a pretty good road system. It makes it pretty easy to get around. There's been a lot of growth here, but you really don't get hung up in a whole lot of congestion. I mean, it's very localized, a couple of stop signs. And then, of course, they've made a big mess around the Short Pump Mall, but that's a different story. By and large, they've done a pretty good job. You look at Arlington County. Arlington County is right there, smack in the middle of the metropolitan core, the Washington metropolitan area. It's very, very dense. It's much more densely developed than Fairfax County. But the traffic congestion isn't nearly as bad. And the reason is because they've done a much better job with planning, coordinating their land use and their development with the road and transportation system. And they've made maximum use of the metro system, and they've developed very dense development around the metro stops so people can walk to the metro stops instead of having to hop into cars and drive and park in a parking lot and then go to the metro stop like they do out in Fairfax. So I think if you look at Arlington, you go, well, we'd much rather be like Arlington than like Fairfax County.
Yeah, Jim Bacon, our guest. What's the story with the regional regulatory agencies? Because it looked to me and it appeared like, hey, here's a good idea. If Northern Virginia wants more roads, why do we tax people in Lee County? Why don't we just give Northern Virginia the option and the power and the authority to create their own regional tax to pay for their road? It seems to me that a Democrat or Republican, that sort of fits with your philosophy no matter who you are, and yet that has no traction.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a solution that a lot of people have proposed, and politically it did get shot down a couple of years ago when they had the regional referendum to do something very similar like that. You have it, that idea is attacked from a couple points of view. You have the people in the state Senate, Senator Chichester, for example, and his allies. They say that, yeah, that's a partial solution that would help fix problems in Northern Virginia or Hampton Roads where you would do it, but it doesn't address the statewide problems. And by statewide problems, I think they're thinking significantly of down in the south side, southwest. That would not create any more money for, you know, the big highway projects down there.
And Lee County needs Northern Virginia money if it wants an expressway.
Yeah, that's something. Don't say that too loudly to anyone in Northern Virginia. There's a very acute feeling up there that the rest of the state is actually milking them dry.
Is that true?
Another approach, though, that says another tack that says the trouble is a regional approach is it's all about taxes. All it does is raise money and build more projects. It's just more business as usual. It's not changing the way the things are done. And so every time you have an increase in kind of traffic, you've got to meet there with an increase in capacity. And there's a very big body of thought that's national, international, that says maybe we ought to be structuring our traffic system so that using tools like congestion tolls and things like that that vary according to the price varies according to the time of day. So the more congested it is, the more you have to pay. Well, that would encourage people to do other things than hopping in the car and driving all by themselves. So it encourages to carpool, encourage them to take buses or metro, encourage them to change the time and day of which they drive, encourage them to telecommute. I mean, so the demand side of the equation also has to be addressed. You just can't build your way out of traffic congestion. And the regional plans just don't address that problem.
Let's go to the phones. Rick Britton is on the phone in Charlottesville. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Coy?
Very good. You're on with Jim Bacon. Go right ahead.
Jim, how are you doing? Listen, I was listening to the conversation, and I'm enjoying it a lot. One of the things that you suggested that would solve one of the problems with congestion is connecting the subdivisions, because people have to dump out of the subdivisions onto the main arteries. But
right.
I can tell you from experience that people don't want to have those subdivisions connected, because people enjoy being back in the little cul-de-sacs. And what happened here in Forest Lakes North is the developer told us that the Forest Lakes North and Forest Lakes South would not be connected. And then he broke his promise, connect the two of them, and all of a sudden people who thought they were way back in a subdivision, now they're on a main artery. And all of a sudden it's more dangerous for their kids and their pets. So by and large, people don't want to be connected.
Right. Well, that's a legitimate concern. People
yeah.
want to feel safe. They don't want to be people. They don't want anybody driving through their neighborhood
right.
at 40 miles an hour.
Right.
There's ways of dealing with that problem. I mean,
right. So they've even put up speed bumps back here because all of a sudden, what was in the back is now a main artery.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole kind of discipline devoted towards what you call traffic calming devices.
Uh-huh. Right.
So. Part of the problem is what happens is VDOT standards for these subdivision roads.
Right.
The roads are so wide
mm-hmm.
that, and plus no one parks along the side of the roads. They're all parked, pulled into their driving lane.
Right.
I mean, you feel like you're driving down the interstate.
Right.
So you gun it. So, it's a complex problem. So, but it can be solved. You could connect the subdivisions. You could provide people with a lot more options in terms of getting out where they go. But then you can create these bottlenecks and choke points that just absolutely force people to slow down. And it all has to do with the way you design the roads. Now, I used to live in the Fan in Richmond, and you had the roads were narrower. They had parking on both sides of the streets. They had stop signs every so often. And there was just no way that you go flying down the road real fast. So... there are ways of dealing it with design.
Jim Bacon of BaconsRebellion.com, one of the smartest blogs here in Virginia. Jim, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate the time.
Coy, it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. That's SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.